Welcome to Outwit Outplay Outpod, the podcast where fire takes represent your life. I'm Isaac.
I'm Kayla.
And we're here to talk about Survivor Season 46, Episode 12, I believe, Mama Bear. Kayla, the tribe has spoken, but we have not. What is your fire take from this week's episode?
Venus must be one of our most just ethereal Survivor players to date because she walked into the jury looking exactly the same, and that is like the highest compliment. Like, she had a full shower, was able to do makeup, everything, and I feel she looked just as lovely as when she was on the island not brushing her teeth. So cheers to you, Venus. You slay.
Where is Venus stack up this journey so far with their sort of fashion situations?
I don't think she was like giving us anything in particular, but her ability to look just as like not grubby on the island as she did with access to water is like an honorable mention in my category. Like, very impressive, hard to do.
I have to say, I was expecting more from the first Venus fit. I was expecting more because people have been showing up, and I mean, she looked good, but like blue tank top, that was what we got.
She said the face card never declines. I don't need to serve a look, like, I'm slaying. It's commendable.
See, that's golf why you're clap. That's why you're the fashion expert on this. I don't have lines like that. The face card never declines. Oh my god, that's so good.
That is a pop culture line, Isaac.
Well, I'm not plugged in. It's all news to me. You're the Gen Z emissary coming forward each week to update me on the lingo. Like, for example, lingo. I assume that that's not really a word in circulation these days. Let's see. My fire take. My fire take is that I think, got to flip the script a little bit, step back. Obviously, we have, what is it, 4 or 5 straight people going home with idols in their pockets. I think we need to take a step back and, instead of criticizing the folks with idols in their pockets, compliment the folks on the island making this happen. Because this, you don't get here with just like some people showing up and making a dumb move at tribal. You get here when the deception is on a level probably that we haven't really seen before. And I think that is a good episode to talk about that, because you have Maria and Charlie living in parallel universes here, talking about how they need to reluctantly kill the other person, and neither of them realizes it until tribal. So I think people are just exceptionally good at hiding their cards this year, and that's why we're ending up with these results. This week, those are our fire takes. This week, we're going to dig into the episode, do a little recap action, have some fun along the way. You know how it is. We don't need to explain it anymore, folks. You get it. But Kayla, any thoughts at the top before we dive in?
Yeah, I do have some thoughts. Thank you for asking. So I have a little bit of trivia, as usual, because Jeff told us that Maria is tied for most immunities won by a woman, immunity challenges. Do you remember how many she has won?
3. 4.
And then, do you want to know?
She's won 4?
She's won 4. Sure? I'm sure. He said it.
I thought he said she's won 3, which ties the most of a woman. Are you sure? I believe
I'm
you.
Sure.
I believe you. Okay.
I'm sure. Right. I was okay, like, so name 4. A woman. Can you name another woman or have a guess who has also won 4? There's only been, to my Googleable knowledge, 4 other women.
Kayla, I've got people.com right here. It's 3. It's 3.
She's won 3.
Yeah, it's 3.
I know you didn't fact check me live on the air.
Yeah, no, it's 3. Because Probe said she tied the most for a woman, but she would break the record with another, which she has a good chance of doing.
Okay, I'm guessing the others. Anyway.
Yeah. Guessing the others. is Denise one of them? I don't even remember if she won a bunch of challenges. Mm-mm. Gosh, I'm not gonna get this.
Think early seasons. Think like very early.
Oh, what's her name? Kim.
Yes, good job. Your survivor knowledge is like really quite impressive, and I'm sure there's many Kims, but I'm gonna assume that you've got the right one.
No, I know it's Kim. Is it from Survivor One World?
Yes,
this season. Hell yeah. Look at this. This ain't a hobby, folks. This ain't a I'm not being paid, but this ain't a hobby. Kim was
very
dominant.
Impressive.
Kim, I think, again, one of the most dominant Survivor seasons of all time. I didn't realize she also had a record there for most immunity challenge wins. Okay, I don't think I'll.
Oh, you're going for 2. I was like, you don't want to quit while you're ahead.
I'm quitting. I don't think I'll get the other. Who's the other?
Okay, I'll name them for the rest of you folks at home. We have Jenna Maraska, Kelly Wigglesworth, and Chrissy Hoffbeck.
Wow, I only recognize one of those names.
I believe Kelly was like...
Oh, each one four. Okay, yeah. I've said this wrong like so many times. So Maria has three. The record is at four. She could the tie the record. Four. But
yeah.
Jeff pointed out on Fire that I think all of those are in 39-day seasons.
Yes.
And I think that meant more challenges. I don't know.
I would assume more challenges.
Yeah. I was.
But
yeah.
Also want to know something interesting about those four ladies.
What's that?
They each make it to Final Tribal.
That's pretty interesting. I will say, like, Dalton in his articles points out that juries historically do not reward challenge wins come final jury. I've always felt that they should. Like, I do think it definitively, in turn, what can you do in Survivor to play well? You know, you can survive votes, you can engineer votes, you can win immunity, you can discover advantages. I think it's like those are like the four like actually tangible things by which you can rate someone's Survivor performance. I don't think that means like 25% of your calculus should be winning challenges. I don't think it deserves that much, but I think he's got to give it a solid 15. Like, it's a swing, especially if we get Maria and Charlie both in the final three. I think like who is the immunity challenge edge could be a significant difference. I do.
Yeah, it's also like, that was part of your game plan going in, where some people are like, I'm going to play a really strong social game. Some people were training up their grip strength and were like, I'm going to come in and try and win these challenges so that I can set the table for who gets voted out. I don't think that's not a strategy.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. All right. Well, let's dive into the recap of this week's episode. So we start at camp with a little damage control from the previous boat. As we remember, there was an inexplicable Kenzie vote. She caught a stray. Turns out that it was my man Ben who accidentally voted Kenzie. And I have to say, I completely believe him.
I believe him too.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't, there's no strategic or social sense in which that made sense. And like, the guy is clearly going through it. I mean, it seems like night terrors every night, like not sleeping. He looks.
I don't think he's with us. He looks
so small. Like, mm-hmm. He's just not, does gone. Not seem well. Yeah. So they kind of are able to laugh it off. And Ben and Kenzie is a fun friendship. Like, that's a legit friendship from this
They're
season.
Honestly now my favorite.
Yeah.
Characters on the show, if we're calling them characters.
Yeah. And I'm like fast forwarding a little much, but. They did a sort of a little shtick at Tribal where they were like talking about this and like poking fun at each other, and they have this whole brother-sister relationship. And you go to cut to the jury, and the jury is like stone-faced. Like, I think that Kenzie is really likable, and I think that this jury is not here for likability as a factor in this game. But we'll see. Okay, so we have the Ben blunder. It was also the first time Kenzie has caught a vote this game. So that is kind of a shame.
I was a little sad because I was like, I think she wouldn't have caught any votes.
We should call it a clean run. Yeah, it's not fair.
Ben fucked up.
Yeah. Yep. Maria is really upset by Venus's criticism of her calculus at the reward and feels like Venus was like dragging her character. What did you think of that?
You know what, Kayla? I think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She came for you. She'd been trying to work with you many a time. You decided not to work with her. Nobody wanted to work with Venus. Okay, she said a few snippy things on your way out, like relax. Also, you said many a time on camera that you felt Venus was like aggressive and didn't understand things. Except you just like didn't say that to her face, except for the one time where you did. So if anything, this is just like retribution.
Totally. And when you think about Charlie versus Maria, as this episode asks us to do constantly, like, I think that's kind of the difference. Like, Charlie doesn't do that, you know? Charlie doesn't alienate a Venus. Maria does. And I think sometimes, and like, she talks about her criticism of Venus from earlier in the season was sort of about ego and naivete and not having experience and stuff. I mean, I think we both feel there was some irony in that comment because I think
there are some themes.
Yeah. Because
came back.
Yeah. Maria is really bothered by Venus's criticism, and it's okay to be bothered by people's criticism. I think we all are, but it just seems a little bit at odds with how Maria presents herself as sort of tough and experienced and not really even willing to hear a Venus out. yet still going to take to heart a criticism and feel like it was an insult toward her as opposed to like a learning experience potentially or anything like that. There wasn't a lot of introspection, I felt like, that resulted from anyone's interactions with Venus. And you said last week that apparently she's getting isolated at Ponderosa as well. So I kind of just don't get it, honestly. I feel for her.
This brings me to my favorite quote, which is always, it's not a quote. I don't think anybody has said this, but it's something I always think where it's like, you have the right to say what you want, but you also have to then deal with those consequences. That's not a quote. But I'm like, yeah. And like, you said what you said, you acted how you acted. Like, no one forced you.
Yeah. I agree. That's a good point. Okay. All right. And then in this first sequence, opening sequence, we get the initial setup of Charlie thinking, looking sideways at Maria a little bit. And there was a lot of that. Like, if I have one criticism of this episode, it was almost to me that they doubled down too much on the Maria versus Charlie thing. It just was every scene. And I looked at my wife as we were watching and we hit like the first commercial break. And I'm someone who loves the strategy, loves the social game. But I looked at her after the first commercial break and I was like, we're 9 minutes into the episode and they're already talking about tribal council and like who they're going to vote out. It's like, we have a reward challenge. We have an immunity challenge. We have God knows how much camp time in between now and then. It's a little too much emphasis on the vote out, in my opinion.
I think they're swinging too far in the other direction. Like, we got a lot of camp in the early parts because Purple Team was so terrible, and I feel like that's a theme in like many seasons, is that we get so much camp. And so I feel like the producers are sitting in the room going, oh well, we've already, and in their minds, if you're producing it, you're like, I've done so much camp, like the audience must also feel like we've had so much camp time. But really, it's been quite some time since we've had that level of camp time, and I think there are still some relationships to be fleshed out. Like, only in this episode did I really begin to appreciate the depth of Charlie's social game. And I think there's like more that they could show us to help us understand.
Yeah, it feels like there is. One thing I wonder is like, what is the absolute volume of sort of conversation and social interaction look like at survivor camps over the time of the season? It's possible that they're like so tired that as you get down to the end of the season, it's like there's not much to show at camp.
We're just laying down.
People are lying down. They're like, how much more of this do we have to take? Like, maybe, I don't know.
It seems to be racking there. Yeah, this season.
Well, they didn't get rice. I mean, that's such a big,
and there's been like no fish. Like, was there any fishing gear?
There was earlier. That's a good point. Like, we don't even know what's the survival situation. What are they eating? Like, we see none of that. And that's the kind of stuff that I feel like just like take it down a couple notches with the setup to tribal starting in the first 5 minutes of the episode. It's a lot. All right. So from there, we head off to the reward challenge. Obstacle coursey, marble. This is the marble one here. Yeah, this is the marble one, which I always like. It's kind of fun, the pulleys and stuff. And we end up with a Charlie victory. And he, I have to say, boy, what a study in contrast from the previous week in terms of the approach to decision making with rewards. Charlie is direct. He's quick. He names a clear criteria by which he's making the decision, and he clearly abides to it. Now, was it a little easier for him? Because maybe this is the intuitive way you just do it. Whoever missed the last reward, Liz and Kenzie, sure. But seriously, a study of contrast between these two players' social games, who they're clearly setting up to us as the top two dogs of this season, right? And so, got to give Charlie the upper hand here. Maria is upset. Not upset with Charlie. It sounds like they'd explicitly, which I respect this a lot, had a conversation about this situation and agreed not to pick each other in these situations. But she's still upset, and it is brutal not picking a parent. I'm always a little torn about this. Like, I don't want to be prejudiced among human relationships, but I kind of feel like a very reasonable criteria would be picking parents for these sorts of things. I mean, what do you think, Kayla? Is that, you're frowning. You're skeptical.
I don't know, man. Okay, I actually think differently about this in the shorter Survivor game. I was thinking about this a lot, actually. I think the letters and the letters from home are actually way more impactful, because at this point, you're going probably like a solid month with like no communication with anyone back at home. And I'm like, yeah, that's pretty brutal. Like, I see why these letters were so impactful. We're at this like 3 week mark. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm just a little less empathetic overall. I'm like, I think, because you're on a desert island with like a bunch of strangers who are always out to get you, that comfort is amplified, but on its face, going 3 weeks without talking to like your fan, I'm like, it's fine. Like to me, I'm kind of like, I don't know, they'll be there. The criteria that I think would be most compelling to me is I think Kenzie was like the correct choice, where it's like, oh my God, you had this like milestone that would likely make you very emotional. So I'm here for like somebody's loved one, unknown condition maybe needed to be checked on. Like someone was maybe waiting for big news. Like I would feel like I would judge it based on people who need information versus like the actually relational ties. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And I have seen survivors get in trouble for naming their criteria for picking people on a reward and saying something like, you know, I remember, wow, this specific memory, Terry, he was an older, like really buff guy. And he picked people, I think, and this was when the loved ones actually came, and he picked people's spouses. And I think he said something to like younger people who like maybe a son had his mom come out or something. And he said like, you know, they just don't get it. You know, the love that you can have for a spouse is just different. It's something, it's like, just obviously just don't ever say that.
Boo hiss. Like,
yeah. don't kick people when they're down, and don't, you know, demonstrate a sort
of. There's just no need to like, also to me, it's very navel gazing, which is always my least favorite characteristic, where I'm like, you're going to appreciate the characteristics that you have. Like everyone in our little lizard brains think that we're most important. So like, anyone that's like you, it's just, you're going to think that their situations are more important. And so I'm like, don't say anything. I think you should just be like, name. Done. Let people guess.
That's a big lesson from this season. Okay, so we head back to, well, we head to camp for the losers and to the sanctuary where bad slogans happen for the rest of them. have some conversations here, like nothing that I considered too gripping. Obviously, Charlie is scheming with Kenzie and Liz, and just everyone is on the same page. It's Maria. Maria has to go. Back at camp, we have Q and Maria bonding. Q goes
Isaac,
off.
Are you just going to skate over Charlie's little girlfriend?
What about it? What about her?
Her name is like Judy. Charlie and Judy.
They sound like 90 years old.
Did you see this tweet where it's like, I'm going to use Charlie and Judy because that's essentially what it is. They're like, what are the parent names of the next generation? Like where you're like, oh, Barb and Tom. Like,
yeah, right.
David and so-and-so, like Charlie and Judy, like what are the next generations? And someone said like, oh my God, what did they say? Like Matt and Amanda, like that was one. They had like, oh my God, I can't think of the other ones, but they were so funny. What do you think our generations Charlie and Judy is?
Matt is a really good one, I feel like. No shade to Matt's. This is tough. I don't know. Like Michael? Mike?
I feel like there are Mikes, though. I feel like Noah, like we could get a good Noah going. Sure.
Yeah.
How many old Noahs do you know? None.
None. Yeah. I don't think either of us have names. Well, I don't know, Kayla. I don't know.
Kayla's very 90s. Kayla is like.
Kayla's 90s? Okay. Yeah. I had two Kaylas in my grade in high school. This is how I'm kind of evaluating. What were the
I had two. I was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Two's not that many.
What about like Mariah or Maria?
Mariah. Those are classic names. So like they kind of have to have.
They don't have a generational identity.
Like you could convince me Michelle. Michelle's like a little. Okay.
Yeah. I hear that.
Anyway, marinate on it. I just thought this was like such a lovely tidbit, and I wish I got more. I know I'm a hater of backstory, but I'm a hater of the like emotional vignettes. I want more little details. Like I wish I knew that behind a Charlie was a Judy. Like I think that just would have been a fun.
I think there should be, you know, Gogglebox. It's a British show where they watch people watching TV.
And no?
It's like, yeah, it's hilarious. It's so good. It's like they watch whatever the biggest shows were in TV, and then you just cut to the best. And they're just like really charming, like families and older couples and like or friends, a bunch of different very eclectic.
That's
vibes.
My dream job.
Yeah. And you just see them react to them. And it's so it sounds stupid, but it's actually such good TV. And I was just thinking that they could have like the Survivor contestants, like families, they could put out episodes of like them reacting to the show that their loved one was in. I always have wanted to see.
Give us more digital content. Yeah. You could post that.
That's another way to do it. Yeah, exactly.
Or if we went live, oh my God, they could stream live from one of the Survivor contestants' houses and they could rotate. So you could like a Twitch streamer. Hire me. I have so many ideas.
God, it could be so good. It could be so good. Okay. Actually, yeah. And so that's the sanctuary. Back at camp, Maria continues to be really upset. She's on her own. She's crying. She's having a hard time. She says something died within me today. But she pulls out this sort of, you know, this is very Maria, victory from adversity type things. Now my mindset is this is going to light a fire under me and I'm going to win this next immunity challenge. Even more crucially, Q is back at camp and he finds himself an idol. It was, I loved when they just hand Q the mic, you know, when there's something to
love
narrate.
It.
It's so fun. Like, I know everyone on the island, like, seems to, like, hate Q, but I don't care. Like, he's such a good personality.
You're never going to make me hate him.
No, he's such a good personality and such a good – even his little vignette after he gets voted out, we could talk about that. He was telling his girlfriend, presumably, that they're going to go to Applebee's.
Yeah, I was like, who is this woman?
Yeah. Ellen, I think, was in it. I'm not sure. Anyway, Q finds the idol, so – we all know how useless that is in this game. He does end up telling Maria that he has it, which I'm actually fine with. It kind of, maybe at this stage in the game, it's less big of a deal to keep in your pocket, though, later when there's such, oh gosh. Okay, anyway, we'll get there. We head off to the immunity challenge. I don't have too much to say here, except we have another obstacle course situation with a dolphin puzzle. I guess I will pause on the puzzle. Very much not in the style of typical Survivor puzzles. Like, it looked like a new school Americana tattoo, if you've ever watched Ink Master.
Very good cut.
Yeah, like, it looked like something that goes on someone's arm, and it was very bright colored and not in the Survivory aesthetic lexicon, if you will. I don't, like, it didn't bother me, to be clear. I don't care what the puzzle looks like at all, but I just noted that it was different, and it was, like, a fun shape. Anyway, we don't care about challenges too much here. Maria ends up pulling out the victory, though. She has sprinted in these like last like puzzle or like marble thing. She like has tend to like not always lead into there, but like then sprints ahead and leaves everyone behind. And so she gets the W. Obviously, a lot of the Survivor castaways are not too happy about that. She was everyone's number one target, basically, besides Q. And so we head back to camp. Any comments here before we head into social strategy talk?
No, the challenge was boring. Although I honestly was happy to see a puzzle. We hadn't seen one in so long. I was like, you know what? Give me a puzzle. I'm open.
Okay. Sure. We're open. Sure. Okay. All right. Then we head back to camp. So at camp, this is why the episode felt just a little slower and more stale to me. They made the choice to like really make this all about Charlie and Maria this episode. And now... And like, this is the first time I really like needed it, you know, like, because now we're getting it again for like the third or fourth time this episode. Liz and Kenzie are pretending with Maria that they're okay voting Charlie, doing quite well. I think Maria just doesn't have the relationships with these people, whereas Charlie has put in the legwork. Charlie has put in the legwork with these relationships. And so they're both saying to their face, like, hey, I'm with you. But it's just so much more credible when they're agreeing with Charlie than when they're agreeing with Maria. And you sort of realize as this goes on, and obviously we see the results, that like there's just like Maria had made this decision in her mind to vote out Charlie, but did she ever actually have a plan to get the numbers to get there?
She just thought she had the numbers. Like, yeah. I think sending Q to be the messenger was like such the wrong choice. Because everyone hates him. I was like, does she think this is a game? Like, or that we're all lying and that they're all like, oh, actually Q's fine. I think if she were the face of this message, it might have been more compelling. But to send Q was like, it was dead on arrival.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, so we get more of camp life. Obviously, Maria and Charlie spending a lot of time thinking about, you know, they feel guilty, friendship, our friendship will endure, Uncle Charlie, blah, 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 but I have to do it. We're turning to the individual portion of the game. This is it. We head to tribal council. Pretty normal tribal council. Jeff asks his usual questions. They all give the usual non-answers. Kenzie and Ben have their little brother-sister thing. Kenzie does this family metaphor where it's like, Charlie is our dog. Ha ha, kind of funny. But this is what I'm talking about here, where like the jury, again, the only person with a sense of humor that I'm seeing visually right now on the jury bench is Venus. And like, I noticed she kind of looked at her other jury members sometimes and was like, had a smile on her face sometimes. Everyone else is, man, I'm just, I don't know what this final tribal is going to be.
How did you feel about that metaphor?
It was weird. It was very forced. It was very forced. And I thought maybe she planned it. I don't know. It just, it wasn't great.
I feel like I always watch for things like that, even in my like personal life, like when people start making metaphors, because that is really what they think about you. And then I was really thinking about Charlie's and I was like, would you want to be the dog? Just the like fun loving dog. And was like, do people think that he's like, will he be getting the strategy points at the end? Because that golden retriever energy is not giving perception of top strategist.
I wouldn't read too much into it. I think Kayla just, I think Kenzie just said like random roles. I think I definitely gleaned the likability. Everyone gets along with Charlie, I think is kind of the thing to take from that. But I think they all recognize him as a smart guy. Presumably they don't know he went to Harvard. I hope he doesn't reveal that in the final tribal, by the way, as like some big thing that, oh, I go to Harvard, you know, like that wouldn't help.
I would actually not vote for you to reveal that just because I'm a hater.
Yeah. Okay, that's tribal. And interestingly, and maybe a first, maybe they've done this before, we see everyone's votes.
I know.
We see everyone's votes go into the urn. So we know the results, which means that the drama is just whether Q will play his idol.
Play the idol. Which I guess out. Is like fair. I don't think they did the too much to make it seem like Q was rounding up any votes. Like Liz was literally like, is he stupid?
Like, yeah. Yeah. Again, I just, this wasn't, we've had a lot of strong episodes and like on paper, this should have been a strong episode. It's the one where Maria and Charlie turn against each other. Q finally gets voted out. He finds an idol. He doesn't play it. Like on paper, this sounded like a dramatic episode. Maybe it's just that we've had so many vote outs now with idols in people's pockets. It's actually ridiculous. Like this, I don't think this will ever happen again. And I also think hopefully there will now be an overcorrection to the next season or couple of seasons where people are like, it's so easy to walk out of tribal with an idol in your pocket. It's not going to be me. We'll see.
Did you pick up on Jeff being like, I watch a lot of police interrogation videos?
Nina did. Nina did. She was like, wait, can we pause this?
Huh?
Did he mean that? Did he? Why?
So weird. Like,
oh, why though? Like, does,
is it for I was the thinking, gameplay?
Yeah. Like, was it the skill set? Like, interrogating people at tribal council,
or like it is an interview practicum. Yeah. Like I was like, that is so freaking weird, and maybe they should have edited that out because
that was really odd. Yeah, I thought that was really odd. Yeah, but anyway, we see everyone cast their votes, and obviously the person who goes home is Q, and I think Maria is surprised. I think both Charlie and Maria did not think the other person was going for them. But Charlie succeeds where Maria fails. And there you go. Now we're heading off.
Can we do some predictions? What do you think the vibe is going to be like? Do you think Charlie's going to take it on the chin? Is it like it doesn't really matter because it's like the final episode and we just kind of have to go to the end? Like, did Maria show her cards too early? Like, is it just like Charlie's like, I got to win?
I think a part of Maria is going to be proud of Charlie. I think like they turned on each other at the same time. Like no one can be mad. If someone's mad, I'm annoyed. If someone's mad, I'm annoyed. But the two people who were voted down were Maria's closest ally, which by the way, the person Maria told Charlie to vote for was Q. So him voting for Q literally is not going against anything she said. Really, yeah. Like she was the one who lied here, you know? So if there's any animosity, I just don't think there will be, though. I think it's very much a now like we shake hands and say, you know, may the best man or woman win. And it's a sprint to the finish. And it could be, these are also the two, I think, strongest challenge competitors left in the game, too. So it kind of might be who wins immunity from here on out. Immunity,
I think,
could
really
be the difference.
But do you try and take another hit? Like, let's say Maria wins immunity.
Yeah.
Like, does she go for Charlie again?
Yes.
And if so, Charlie needs to, like, he's got to, like, play a shot in the dark because I think no one wants Charlie there if Maria already has immunity.
It's a good point. It's a good point. You're right. I think, and there's no more immunity idols. So.
There's no idols. So, like, it's a terrible, like, you got to eat right. that. You have to win or you're getting
it
eliminated.
It is about immunity. That's really what we're tuning into the finale next week for. Because, yeah, if you're Ben, Kenzie, or Liz, your number one and two are Maria and Charlie. And you're voting for whichever one of them doesn't win immunity.
Right.
And if they both don't win immunity, I think it's clear you're voting for Maria.
Sure. Absolutely.
So Charlie has a slight advantage, I guess, in that he doesn't have to win. Maria has to win. I feel like Charlie just needs to make sure Maria doesn't.
Hard to do. I'm interested.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested as well. Well, why don't we do a Merge Madness update here? And then, I don't know, Kayla, maybe we reveal what our final fives are at this stage in the game so we know what the other person needs to win. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will say
I got nervous.
What. So, in reality, Q finished sixth. I had Q 10th.
I had Q going out 8th.
Okay. All right. Okay, so let me do my math on the podcast here. So you had Q 6. I know it's actually really hard. It's like the hardest thing I do every week is this calculation. Okay, so you had Q 8th and he was in reality 6. So 2, so 10 minus 2. So you get 8 points. So Kayla, that puts you at 32 points heading into the finale. And as for myself, I had Q 10th. He was in reality 6. So that's 4. 10 minus 4 is 6. So I get 6 points. 32. Okay.
A dead heat.
We are tied going into the finale and wow.
Stressy Essie.
So what
I mean, my
sense...
top three is busted, so like I don't really feel good about it.
All right. So I think what we have to do is go sort of reverse order from the person who's still in the game who you had leaving the earliest.
Okay.
So I'll start here. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I had my sixth place finisher was Liz.
Okay.
Liz,
obviously my sixth place was Charlie.
Okay. Okay. My fifth place was Kenzie.
My fifth place was Maria.
Okay. My fourth place was Tiff.
My fourth place is Liz.
Okay. My third place is Ben.
My third place is Ben.
My second place is Charlie.
My second place was Tiff.
My first place is Maria.
My first place is Kenzie.
Okay. So we both kind of have a path, right?
There's something there.
Yeah. I mean, you have Maria fifth. That could totally happen, right? I have Kenzie fifth. I actually think that's pretty unlikely. And I have Liz sixth. That's only going to get worse. The problem, I think, for you is that Maria
is
winning
that
Charlie second.
Kenzie's my number one.
Maria winning Charlie second and Ben third is possible. Like, that feels kind of...
Yeah, it feels like maybe.
The question, though, is I don't know if... How likely is a final three with both Maria and Charlie?
I think that'd be such a sassy final three. Like, I'm actually really vying for the world. Because if you ask me, I don't think Maria and Charlie actually are playing... similar games. I think you both can say the dynamic duo of it all, but I feel Maria's playing much more mob boss and Charlie is like everybody's best friend and they were able to play off each other. But I think Charlie's social game is so distinct, and then you can say Maria had a much more like heavy-handed strategic game, and also like choosing Q as like your number two. Like, I don't know, I think they actually have different stories. I think there's a lot there, and I actually would love to see them battle it out in final circle.
I would too. I just think the problem is there's no immunity idols left, and there's only one immunity necklace, and if only one person can win the immunity necklace and these are the top two threats in the game,
the math we just did.
Yeah, I think it's impossible, but I do think Maria and Charlie are the most likely winners, and I have them 1 and 2, so hopefully I'll get some points for that. But we'll see. I think either of us could win. It's crazy that we end up tied after this, choosing our Merge Madness brackets in the dark situation.
My Survivor sword is sharpening. Isaac has like 20 seasons on me, but I'm coming up the back. Yeah. I have like, I don't know, 10 seasons under my belt.
Well,
now.
We're 1 and 1.
Go.
We're 1 and 1. This is the rubber match. This is the rubber match of our podcast careers.
Woo!
And I'm also realizing we never decided on stakes for this.
Oh, so thank God.
We might have to. No, we might have. No, we're tied. We might have to decide on stakes in between now and the finale. We'll see. Okay. All right. Well, any more predictions, Kayla, for the finale of this season of Survivor? I feel like it snuck up on us.
It did. I literally had to Google when is the last episode of Survivor. And I was like, next week. I kind of wish they split it into two, but I see why they don't. No more predictions. I hope that it's not just like three goats at Final Tribal. Like, I hope it doesn't up and like Maria like can't make fire or something. And then we have like Liz, Kenzie, Ben at Final Tribal. That would actually be annoying.
I'm very curious about this jury at the Final Tribal. I mean, think about who you have on this jury. You have Q, wild card. You have Venus, wild card. You have Tevin, social butterfly, charismatic.
This
wonder.
Was also all Nami. So it's not even like you can really.
Yeah. You've got Hunter, the challenge beast. He'll be kind of blah. And you've got Tiff, who I think is really going to come out swinging. I just have a feeling. We'll see. But yeah, looking back, a lot of entertaining characters bit the dust. It kind of like if you ranked everyone in terms of entertainment value, I feel like the final five we're ending up with. I don't know. They're not the top of the top.
Snoozers.
Yeah, just a little bit. All right, folks, but we are still excited, obviously, for the finale of this season 46. Just one more episode of Survivor. One, maybe two episodes about Widow Playout Pod left. We'll get back to you on scheduling, and that might be a little delayed coming out. I have my brother's wedding that I will be attending, but it will come in your feed. Have no fear. Thanks, folks, as always, for tuning in. Please, you know, write us an email about your closing thoughts on this season of season 46 of Survivor at widowplayoutpod@gmail.com. Tell a friend us about us. Rate us on your favorite podcasting app. We really appreciate it. We'll be back eventually to talk about the finale of Survivor season 46. But until then, the tribe has spoken, and so have we.